Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to the Shir. Parsha Shlach is approaching in America, famous for the unfortunate event of the Meraglim, the chait of the Lashon Hara spoken by the Meraglim about Eretz Yisrael. And this evening, we're going to speak about a halacha related to Lashon Hara, not the famous Isser of speaking Lashon Hara, but rather a maybe less famous element known as the Isser to believe Lashon Hara. So the Shir is entitled Hearing, Believing, and Responding to Lashon Hara. So let's analyze the Parsha first by specifically viewing the Parsha from the perspective of the Isser to believe Lashon Hara. Then we'll learn the classical... Oh, all right, of course. Very good. Very Adam already asked a very good question. We'll learn about your question, Adam. We'll learn again. So we'll first analyze the Parsha through this halachic lens, and then we'll learn the classical sources. A little bit of Lundus in the Rambam. Here we go. So, Vayisafru lo, when the Meraglim returned from their trip, Vayomer banu el ha'aretz. So, let's view this as a narrative. The first scene is that the Meraglim say, we went. We arrived to Eretz Yisrael, and they start by saying the good. They start by saying, here is the, you know, it was Avat Chalav Udvash, Vizeh Pirya, here are the fruits, etc. And then they have that major line of Efes, ki azam, it's worthless, don't fight, they're too strong, there's really no point of fighting, Amalek, Yoshev Va'aretz, etc. So the Meraglim strike first. They say, it's not worth going into Israel. Who speaks second? Kalev. Vayahas Kalev Asam. He silences the crowd. And he essentially says, come on, alo na'ale, we could go up, we can get it. So that's the second person who speaks in the story. Kalev's response is, come on, we could do this. He's inspiring the nation to not believe the spies and to try to go into Eretz Yisrael. But the Meraglim responds, V'anashim asher alu imo amru, no, lo nuchal alos. El ha'am ki chazaku mimenu. So all of a sudden, the Meraglim now debate Kalev. And Pasuk Lamed Beis is it, where it gets almost out of hand. Kalev is outnumbered, so to speak, where the Torah says, Vayotziu diba ta'aretz asher Torah osa el b'nei Yisrael le'emor. Something happens in Pasuk Lamed Beis where the Meraglim really elaborates. They go on, and they say Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. And you know what? That really unfortunately did the trick. This next stage really accomplishes their goal. And in fact, the Ramban is the one who argues that when the Meraglim were in front of Moshe, they only said a little bit. But the real evil was done when the following evening, that night when Moshe was no longer around, they went from tent to tent, spreading Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. And that's when things got really bad. And that's why Perek Yudalet is slightly different than Perek Yud Gimel. Vatisa kol ha'eda v'etinu es kolam v'yivku ha'am b'layla ha'hu. What happened? That's when the nation started crying. So essentially, the nation could have picked, do we believe Kalev or do we believe the other Meraglim? And when they cry out in the night, how did they decide? They clearly picked a side. Namely what? By crying, they were showing that they sided with the side of Kalev, and they were crying by Yilonu al Moshe. The next morning, what do? They even complain against Moshe, and they say, oh, if only we would have died in Mitzrayim, etc., etc. And they even blame Hashem. V'lama Hashem evi'u otenu al ha'aretz hazos. What Hashem's bringing us to the desert, what? To die? They even want to go back to Mitzrayim. And you have one last attempt where Yoshua and Kalev, they tear Kriya, and they say to Klal Yisrael in one last effort, they say, we can do this if Hashem is on our side. Don't rebel against Hashem. And what's the response? Vayomru kol ha'ida. This might only mean the Meraglim. It's not exactly clear if it's the all of Klal Yisrael, but maybe only the Meraglim. Lirgom otam ba'avanim. Stone Yoshua and Kalev. They have taken a very clear stand. Which side did they pick? Clearly, Kalev and Yeshua were not the fan favorite here. Yeah.
So, I always had a problem with this. Jesus was supposed to be the greatest of the great, saying stone.
100%. Corruption. corruption. Again, I didn't want to give a shiur on the topic over the topic of that issue, but one of the topics I was thinking about giving on tonight was the halachic response to fallen leaders. When you have Rahmana Litzlan, a scandal, something like that, you know, how do we view the Torah of someone like that? That was one of the, yeah, so Robert, it may be next year, but another. In the past, the Parsha Shlach, we spoke about whether or not it was permissible to speak Lashon Hara about objects. Here, what's ironic is that Lashon Hara is being spoken about the land of Israel. So that was like one sugya. And again, Baruch Hashem, you know, more to talk about Parsha Shlach. But yeah, Robert's correct. How could it be that these great tzaddikim had fallen? The Zohar, just to respond to your question, Robert, says that they wanted their power to remain. All the while that they were in the desert, they were honorable, high-ranking officials. What would happen to their authority when they would enter the land? They would lose it. And I wasn't going to tell the story this evening, but Robert, thanks to you, I'll tell you a crazy story. My grandmother, Ella Shalom, her yurtzeit is actually Shiva Sefer Tammuz. We're going to bench Shabbos Mavarach on the Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh Tammuz is, you know, when next week? Right? I don't know. I don't know the Hebrew calendar today. However, we'll see. We're going to relate it to the month of Tammuz shortly in the 3 weeks, etc. But my grandmother, it was actually Motzei Parsha Shlach. This is Parsha. My grandmother had been hospitalized over Shabbos. I think it was by my good friend Jeremy Barry's Ufruf in the Five Towns. And I got right after Shabbos is over, I found out my grandmother's in the hospital. So my wife and I went over to LIJ, whatever. And my grandmother was like, it was a little bit funny. She was like high on like crazy medication. And she didn't die. You know, she died like a month later. You know, she was okay. She made it home, whatever. But it was a little bit of this awkward reality where my grandmother was in a hospital bed and very giggly, almost like a lot of laughing gas or whatever. So I went up to my grandmother and I remember she touched me on the arm and the head. She said, I know that touch. I remember that touch. She was almost like in another world or whatever. And I knew my grandmother, the Holocaust survivor, they're the holiest of holies. She loved Torah. And I knew that if I mentioned the Parsha, she would like kind of sober up a little bit. I said, Grandma, today we read Parsha Shlach, the story of the spies. And she said, those spies, they did a bad thing. They did a bad thing. And then she looked at me. She sobered up. She said, they sold their souls for nothing. For nothing. It's like really an out-of-body experience. You know, we have a tradition. Gemara says that the Shechina dwells upon a chola. And she was mom speaking Zohar. And that's what it was like one of the cooler moments of my life. Anyway, all thanks to Robert's question. So Gabai, we have a date on the calendar?
Monday and Tuesday.
So we're right about tonight. Is today the 29th yet? So we'll see why. You'll see why I asked that question. All right, but either way, if you analyze this sugya in the Chumash from the halakha question of, are you allowed to believe Lashon Hara? So we usually blame the spies. We usually blame the spies for this, as we should. But let's ask on Klal Yisrael this evening. Was it their fault for believing?
No.
Says Ari Sher, no. Why not?
It was a spy's job. They knew it was a spy's job to give Zvatan Hashem for them to go into Eretz Yisrael, and they were supposed to give an accurate report, which is say that was going to be wrong.
So Bnei Yisrael
says that wasn't true.
Right. I mean, they were rightfully, logically believing the spies.
Crying was in response to the truth. It wasn't in response to the...
But what's the Kashan Ari share? There were two spies who said not to believe him.
Right, but logically there's two against.
So that's the number game, right?
Right.
So I cornered you, because I would have said exactly Ari share. It's how many spies, right? 12. You have 10 of the Gdola Hador saying, don't do it. And you have 2 of the Gdola Hador saying, let's go. It's a no-brainer. You can't blame Klaus.
So the human brain goes naturally towards negative.
Ooh, is that a good thing? You have to fight that. Okay, so that, I can argue, you can blame Klal Yisrael. Right, so it says, Ari, they were normal. Now, I would have said exactly like Ari, Chazal criticized Klal Yisrael. We have to, unfortunately, gather our sensitivities towards the 3 weeks. The Shabbos, we're going to be benching Chodesh Tammuz. And that essentially means that, you know, the Chorban Beis HaMikdash is a little bit more on our minds. And the Gemara Maseches Tainis Chav Tesem and Aleph discusses the calendar date of when the spies left, and it goes into all these parshios, believe it or not, about calculating when everything happened. The 3 days that we ran away from Hashem, and they waited 7 days for Miriam. It's an amazing calculation. However, the Gemara says that on the 29th day of Sivan, the Moshe sent the spies. Literally this time of year, not only is it Parsha Shlach this time of year, but literally is when it happened, just around this time of year, like this story took place, whereby the spies were sent out, and they came back when? On Tisha B'Av, and Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Osa Laila Leil Tisha B'Av Haya. That night where they cried out, that was the night of Tisha B'Av, and Hashem said, Atem Bechitem Bechia Shel Chinam, you cried for no reason, Vani Kovei Lechem Bechia L'Doros. And because on this calendar day, the 9th of Av, you cried for no reason, I'm going to establish an eternal crying. I'm going to give you a reason to cry on this night for future generations. And that became the night of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, etc. But you can ask on the Gemara, what do you mean? What did they do wrong? There was a Bechia Shel Chinam. They cried for no reason. Why would he miss no for reason? Ari Sher, and obviously everyone would argue, they were very justified in that response. But it wasn't for naught. It was because they had just heard devastating news. Fascinating. Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin. Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. Unfortunately, we lay in an Eicha, very beginning of Eicha, Bachot Tivkeh B'Laila. It's a double crying. The Gemara wants to know why two cryings, Amar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, two Beis HaMikdash destructions. But what about the Laila? Why at nighttime? And the Gemara again says, because of this Yisod, it's a reference to the night of the spies. So already in the Parsha, there's a little bit of a connection to the 9 days in Tisha B'Av. But my question is, why is it a Bechia Shel Chinam? So the Maharsha gives a classical answer there. We're not going to go into that. It was really all about Siras Chinam, and it was really out of hatred for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you look at the Pesukim, it's black on white, both in Sefer Devarim and Bamidbar, that they really, classic Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, in these Parshas, they really had an agenda. They weren't such a fan of following the Torah and the Mitzvos. However, I want to use this Gemara as a springboard to say, B'derech Drush, at least against the Maharsha, although I'm not worth the dirt under the toenails of the Maharsha, you could argue that they violated this Isser of believing Lashon Hara. That B'nai Yisrael had two sides to pick, and they decided to believe Lashon Hara when they should not have. You say, manless name, it was not at their fault because it was 10 against 2. But the Or HaChaim says, if it was 11 against 1, that's justified. But there's a halacha concept that when you have two witnesses, what does the halacha say? Beis Edim, Kedin Meya Edim. Oh, 2 equals 10 in halacha. When you have two witnesses and you have 100 witnesses, they're the same. 2 equals 3, 2 equals 4, 2 equals 100. When you have two witnesses in halacha, that's all you need. And it's not like we assume numbers matter when it comes to testimony. 100 has a certain power in testimony, and it's the same power as 2. Once you have 2 witnesses, you are maxed out. So it says the Or HaChaim, ve'edus shekula hizos, ve'ein kan edus, lo shel meragim, lo shel yishuv hakol. They cancel each other out. Unbelievable Or HaChaim. That the 2, Yoshua and Kalev, cancel out the 10. So what are we left with? 0. And they really could have picked a side. Why do they decide to pick a side of the 10? All right, human nature. But I want to argue is that they violated this Isser of believing Lashon Hara. Well, you hear it, Ari, or no?
That's like Adam Zoman.
Adam Zoman, yeah. So that's right. So Ari says, but the 2, what, were Yoshua and Kalev. Yoshua Kalev.
Yeah, but then the other 10 are also great.
Ah, so very good, very good, very good, very good. But, all right. So Moshe maybe tears Kriya, Moshe and Yoshua. On one side, there's Moshe equal more. And we're going to see next week, what's Korach versus Moshe, right? It doesn't really stop. So Ari is not necessarily convinced yet. But all right, take it or leave it. But I wanted to use the Sugya in the Parsha as at least a springboard to discuss this Isser, because Bnei Yisrael were at fault. Chazal said they cried for nothing. And in the same way you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara, in the same way that the Meraglim are at fault for speaking Lashon Hara, we're at fault for crying. And every day, I want you to know from now on, you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara, you're not allowed to listen to Lashon Hara, you're not allowed to believe Lashon Hara. Here we go. Gemara Erechin, Tezvav Beis, famous Gemara. Tana Devishma, Kol HaMesaper Lashon Hara, Magdil Avonos Keneged Shlosh Averos, very bad, the worst 3. When you violate Lashon Hara, it's as if you did Avodah Zarah, Gilai Raz, Shvichos Damim. And in Eretz Yisrael, they say it's like you killed 3 people. Horeg Limisapro. Ulmekablo. Ding 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 ding. The Omro. Who dies? The guy who says Lashon Hara. The guy who listens, i.e. believes the Lashon Hara. Mekabel seemingly means to believe. Ula Omro, and the guy who you're speaking about. Wow. So what do we see black and white in this Gemara? That listening to Lashon Hara is a problem. Says the Gemara Zechus Ksuvo stuff, hey, I'm an Aleph going on to him to base. Darash Bar Kopara. There's a pasuk in Devarim that says, literally it's a reference to having like a shovel in the Midbar to, when a person had to go to the bathroom, they would have to keep the camp clean, etc. But says the Gemara, don't read the pasuk literally as azeinecha, rather as ozencha. What does that mean? That you should have a what? A shovel for your ear. What does that mean, your shovel for your ear? Shem yishma adam davar she'eno hagun. If you're hearing Lashon Hara, yanich etzba'o be'oznav. The shovel is your finger, and you should put your finger in your ear. Has anyone ever done that before? No, no one has ever used their fingers for that? No, never. All right? I've done it like in other times, but not for Lashon Hara. Right? You know, if I say it's bedtime and my kids then protest, I probably have said, I probably have done that before. But that is Rabbi Lazar's chiddush. Why did Hashem create our fingers with a certain shape, etc.? You know, and the Gemara says, what, every finger plays a different function, whatever. But then the Gemara says, Tana de Baby Shmuel, Yipnei ma'ozen kula kasha. Why is the entire ear hard? V'ha'al yaraka. But the lobe of the ear is soft. She'im yishma adam davar she'enu hagun. So if you hear Lashon Hara, what should you do with your earlobes? Bend them over. Bend them over. Yaakov ele letocha. You should bend your earlobe over into the hole of the ear. That's why Hashem created our earlobes bendable. Tana Rabbanan says the Gemara al Yashmiya Adam Leozen of Dvar Batalim. So there it is, your ears should not hear certain things. It's going to lead to bad things. So on the books, we have two Gemaras already that suggest it's a problem to hear Lashon Hara, not just speak Lashon Hara, but it doesn't stop here. Says Rav Sheshes in the name of Elazar ben Azariah, Kol HaMesaper Lashon Hara, V'chol HaMekabel Lashon Hara. Anyone who speaks Lashon Hara, and anyone who believes Lashon Hara, and anyone who testifies falsely, Ra'ui L'Hashlich Lo L'Klavim. We should throw that guy to the dogs. Interesting. Why specifically that? Whatever. So it's a pasuk in the Torah. It says, Lotisa Shema Shav. Right? It was the theme for Shomrei Torah Shavuos, right? The third of the Aseres Adibros, right? Lotisa Shema Shav. And right there it says, L'Kelev Tashlichon Oso, right? Yeah. Very good. So Robert's a big lamb. You know, so Robert's already asking the brilliant question. So maybe it could go into your ear, but that doesn't mean you have to believe it. Excellent. So we'll get there in a second. The Rashbam is the famous commentator. Rashi and Arvei Pesachim is not as often learned as his grandson's commentary, the Rashbam, in the 10th parak of Maseches Pesachim. The Rashbam's commentary in Pesachim, Kuf Yud Chesam and Aleph, what is he now? Mekabel Lashon Hara? Shemekablo Uma'amino Al Chavero. What does it mean? You listen to it and you believe it. Ding, 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 ding. So does that mean it's okay to hear it? So the Chafetz Chaim's famous Sefer, Hilchos Lashon Hara, has a tremendous discussion about your question. And he goes at length to specifically argue that there's not only an Issur Midoraisa to believe Lashon Hara, there's another Issur to even hear it. Whoa. But it's an argument he makes. Not everyone necessarily would agree 100% with it. Yeah.
But you hear it
involuntarily. Very good. Very good. Excellent. So we're going to speak about it. So it says, Lowell, Rabbi, are you joking? Your ears are open. So it's going to go in. So, you know, just before I forget, last year, Parsha Shlach, we gave the shiur about Shmira Seinayim, also in the Parsha. Because the Lotaturach Re'levavchem in Parsha's Vayomer, of the Kriyat Shema that is in Parsha Shlach at the end of the Parsha. And there Rashi said there are three steps. First, the eye sees. Then the lave, the heart desires, and then the body acts upon it. And last year we discussed, where is the Issur D'Oraisa? In the eyes, the heart, or the action? And we concluded, the halakha says, listen, things are going to go into your eye vision. It's going to happen. You shouldn't put yourself in the situation, but it's going to happen. It's all about how you respond to your eyes, meaning stage one, the eyes will be exposed. It happens, it's the summer, whatever. But how does your heart respond? That's up to you. That is in your control. Similarly, I wanted to say the same mashal for this evening. Things might enter your ear. Is that always okay? Ironically, maybe not. It might be more strict than Shmir Sinai, but it's going to be a similar progression. Let's see the Rambam. We'll do a little bit of Lamdus, and then we'll go into very practical scenarios. Says the Rambam, Asur l'dayan l'shmoa davar echad b'ale dinim kodim sheyavo chavero. So you can't hear one side of the case before you hear the other side of the case, because lo tisa she meshav, and there in Hilchos Sanhedrin, the Rambam writes, u'bechlal lavze azhar l'mikabel lashon hara. There it is, black on white, the Rambam says, and he then says, misapra lashon hara, in addition to the prohibition to not speak lashon hara, you're not allowed to believe lashon hara. It's on the books, you cannot believe slander. But then the Rambam, in Hilchos Deos, pulls the move. I'm right now translating the word makabel as belief.
Everything was
in the rabbi's center,
true.
Yeah, they're bond, yeah.
It's through their own perception. It doesn't mean it's true. Their perception.
Yeah, all right. But don't worry about the story. I hear you're right. It's a very, very, very good point. We have a tradition that the Meraglim spoke Lashon Hara. Rashi in the Parsha says that's why Shek was a Miriam. They you're right. The Ramban does say they only, said truth, and their issue was the word Ephes. I hear what you're saying, but let's, for halachic purposes, translate the word makabel as to believe. But in Hilchos Deos, again, the Rambam quotes that Gemara, that it's like the big three. And then the Rambam says, you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara, you're not allowed to believe Lashon Hara. V'hamakablo yeser min ha'omro. It's actually more severe to believe Lashon Hara than to speak Lashon Hara. It's actually a more severe issue. Could anyone explain why that would be? Why would it be? I would have guessed it's far worse to speak Lashon Hara than to believe Lashon Hara. Yeah, what was that, Peter? That's it, you're validating. You're stoking.
But I have a problem.
Yeah.
If something comes to you and you know that, hey, that sounds right.
Very good. Everyone's asking this evening, come on, Mandelstam. You can't tell me not to believe it. You know who asked that question? Rav Sternbach. Rav Sternbach was asked that question. We'll talk about it. It's the last source on the sheet. But we're going to try to be beyond Frum, because we're within the presence of Ari Sher. Ari Sher is a Shana Aleph kid. It doesn't get Frum. If anyone could do it, it's Ari Sher. So let's not believe in ourselves. But if anyone could do it, Ari Sher can. So we're doing it for him. But Peter, we'll talk about your question. Are you doing all right? Yeah, I'm fine. So there is a question everyone asks on the Rambam. Everyone, it's a question. How can the Rambam say that it's actually more severe to believe Lashon Hara? So this Shuva, I was zochet to find, the Sheilas Shuva is Mayim Chaim, Rav Chaim David, son of Rav Moshe Levi, born in Yerushalayim 1924, from a family from Turkey, studied in the Porat Yosef Yeshiva, alongside Rav Avadya Yosef and Rav Ben Sion Abba Shaul, so a great Sephardi Rav, apparently. And he's dealing with this question of the Isser to believe Lashon Hara, and it's an amazing tshuva, because someone asked him, he said, I heard on the radio. I love that already. It just speaks to the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. He said that, Shamata Sicha Baradio, Al Isser Lashon Hara, and you heard that there's this Isser to hear and believe Lashon Hara, and it's even worse. And the question is, Eich ze yitachein? How is it possible? V'alo ani lo asiti ma'uma. I didn't do anything. Uma ashamti shmishu ba v'siper li divrei lashon hara v'ani e'enei shoter mimenu. Meaning what? The guy who spoke lashon, he should be punished more than me. I'm innocent. He's the one who really violated this or speak lashon hara. Why am I not innocent? So the sheilas tshuva was Mayim Chaim, Rav Chaim David, Halevi, so he actually quotes a couple of answers to explain this phenomenon. And there are actually stories in Tanakh that speak to this. So I'll tell you one Gemara, Masechta Shabbos. If you that says the name of Rav, Bishash Amar David Lemifi Voshes, Ata Vitziva Tachalku Esasade, Yos Tabasko Amar Lo, Rechavim Yerevim Yachalku Esamlucha. Yikes. So what happened? David was told by a man named Tziva that Mephibosheth was rebelling against David. He was no longer loyal to David. So David had a choice to either believe Tziva or not believe Tziva. And he chose to believe Tziva. And he therefore said, I believe you, and therefore you two should split the land, as opposed to giving Mephibosheth, the innocent, the land he was entitled to. And because he believed that Lashon Hara, Klal Yisrael was punished by having the Rechavim Yeravim split the kingdom. Rav Yehuda says to Marav, if not for the fact, Ilmale lo kibel David Lashon Hara lo nechleku malchus beis David. Yikes. So some of these Achronim are saying, do you see how bad it is to believe Lashon Hara? It's, the Lashon Hara wouldn't get anywhere if you don't believe it. And there are other such stories in Tanakh. I don't want to spend too much time, but the Sefer himself says exactly what Peter said. That he said, he says, Hare Shekola Ason Barigat Kone Nov, Bami Bekabalas Lashon Hara, right? So what happened when someone told Shaul, right, that Doeg told Shaul about Achimelech, and it led to tremendous murder. But he has that line exactly like Peter. Here it is. Hamakabel Lashon Hara, hu hasibah lemesapik moto. Person would never say Lashon Hara if not for the fact that what? Someone believed him. Right? If you didn't believe, right? Well, why is social media so famous? Not because someone posts, but what happens when you post on social media? What happens? People like it. People subscribe. It's all about the response. That's why social media is so cool, right? So if you say Lashon Hara, no one cares about what you have to say. It's not going to go anywhere. But when you believe Lashon Hara, it fuels the flames. It excites people to say it. Ki me'ach sherom shemekavu b'seva panim yafos margilim atzma medavar. When you see, ooh, someone likes me because I say Lashon Hara, so I'm going to do it again. If there was no audience, it would be nothing. So that was from the Sefer Rabbeinu Yitzhak Abu Hav, the Sefer Menorat HaMaor. Okay, so. Oh, yeah, what's your Svara, Arya?
I think when you believe something, you have to keep on to believe it, it becomes ingrained within like your perception.
That's it. That's it.
And when you're speaking, the words are more external to you. So let's say I speak Lashon Hara.
Very good.
I think next time I see him, I'm not going to be thinking those words of Lashon Hara that I spoke about him. But if someone came to me before, the second I see the guy, I'll relate back to that perception and the kavana I had when that guy, and I'll believe what that guy said. Next time I see him, that'll be the perception to like what I look at him.
I love that, Pshat. So says Ari Sher, an amazing idea. That when I make up a lie, let's say about Ari Sher, I say he's X, Y, or Z. So it's a lie. I might forget the fact that he made up such a lie. But if you hear about it, it's going to go into you. And you're never going to be able to erase that perception. Ironically, the person who spoke about it might have an easier time forgetting. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Because the words are out of the speaker, but they're in the listener. Unbelievable shot by Ari. Okay, so if we were to end here, it's relatively straightforward, but extremely challenging. What the halacha will allow you to do, though, is not believe Lashon Hara, but be cautious in response to the Lashon Hara. Yikes. This is what we call, you're allowed to be choshesh. It's a Gemara Masech, it's Nidah Samach Aleph Amin Aleph, whereby it speaks about Gedalia. Gedalia was unfortunately killed by Yishmael, and the issue was that Yochanan had given Gedalia a warning that Yishmael is out to kill you, and Gedalia did not believe it. And the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Hai Lishna Bisha, Lashon Hara, Avapi Dilekabule Lomi Bai, even though you're not allowed to believe the Lashon Hara, here's the key line, Mechashle Mibai, you do need to be suspicious for it. Which means that when Gedalia heard someone was out to kill him, he should not have been naive after that. He treated Yishmael as completely innocent. And the Gemara actually therefore says Gedalia is somewhat at fault for the outcome of his own murder, because he should have been a little bit suspicious in light of the rumor that Yishmael was out to kill him. Whoa. And the Gemara actually tells a story. Hani B'nai Galila, there were these people from the Galil. There were rumors about them that they had committed murder. And they go to Rabbi Tarfon and they ask Rabbi Tarfon, can you please hide us? People are trying to arrest us. And Rabbi Tarfon says, I don't know. Meaning, if I don't hide you and the government finds you, then I'd kill you. So I don't want to be responsible for your death. So what if I do hide you? Well, there are rumors about you that you guys committed murder. So I don't know if I really want to believe you. I don't know if I'm going to believe that, but I'm certainly not prepared to hide you in light of that, because I need to at least suspect that it's true. So Rabbi Tarfon respectfully asked that they go find a different hiding space. He said, you go figure out your own hiding space, all right? Now the question is, what did he mean, Rabbi Tarfon, by that, by saying, I need to suspect that? So Rashi says, maybe you guys committed murder, and I'm not allowed to save you, because you're murderers. Says Tosfos, it cannot be. The Rush asks it a little bit more clearly, but Tosfos and the Rush go with a different shot, that of Rav Chaigon, and the Shiltos to Rav Chaigon, that the question on Rashi is, whoa. If there's a rumor about someone that he did something wrong, I should let him die? Chas v'shalom. There was a rumor about these individuals that they committed murder. But if Rabbi Tarfon did not hide them, they would get killed. So I can't hide Reuven because there are rumors about him that he sinned? Chas v'shalom. So no. Rather, what was the pshat of Rav Chaigon? Rabbi Tarfon did not want to hide them because it could lead to damage. Meaning, I need to be suspicious that you're a murderer. And I cannot hide you. Do you know why? Because if I hide you, it could lead to danger. That is permissible. You're allowed to believe Lashon Hara. Not that it's true, but you're allowed to believe it to the degree where you whereby you what? Make sure to prevent damage. So let's say you hear something about someone. He is, we'll just say, poses a threat to society. So you're not allowed to believe that. But what do you have to do? Protect potential victims. It's a very, very sensitive halacha. Because sometimes allegations are completely false. And in this generation, Rahmana Litzlan, people can make up crazy things and newspapers can write crazy things that are not based on anything. Not based on evidence at all. Complete sheker. Complete sheker can ruin a person's life, Rahman al-Islam. But if there are potential victims, it really affects the halacha. So here's where the Chafetz Chaim explains in Klal Vav that you're not allowed to believe Lashon Hara. Because if you believe, let's say, Reuven tells you something about Shimon, you're going to now view Shimon as a bum, and you're not allowed to do that. And okay, there he goes, and not only you're not allowed to believe it, in Siv Beis he says, Af al shmi'at lashon hara levad, gam ken yesh isher min haTorah. Oh my gosh. He says you're not even allowed to hear it, which means it's seemingly not allowed to go into your ears. It cannot go into your ears. Like, imagine a shmir senayim shir where I say it can't even go into your eyes, which means you can't, like, live in the world. You know what I'm saying? And it's a very high madrega. But the Chafetz Chaim argues it's innocent to Araisa. Yikes. But there are permissible methods. And this comes up where, let's say you have an end of the year meeting. I have one of these tomorrow. So it's a good apropos topic. Let's say tomorrow I'm at this end of the year meeting for the TABC faculty. And they say, we got to talk about Shimon. We're not sure if Shimon should be allowed back to TABC next year. And they start saying some pretty intense negative information about Shimon. Do I start putting my fingers in my ears? No, right? Of course not. Why? Because what's the goal of my listening? It's constructive. Says the Chafetz Chaim, if your kavana is not to hear the disgrace, but to prevent damage, so that's a very big deal. Today, I had lunch one-on-one with a TABC kid. Started telling me some stuff, crucial information. Again, it wasn't negative in nature, but because I have a little bit more information about a certain group of kids, as a Rebbe, I'm exponentially more likely and able to help those kids now. We were not gossiping over pizza. It was real stuff. And says the Chafetz Chaim, of course, if the context and tone of the conversation is constructive, of course it's okay. Of course it's okay. All right? So this comes up by Shidduchim all the time. Rachman al-Islam by abuse. people are afraid to report. No, we apostle like the NYPD. If you see something, you say something, right? And if someone asks about a particular woman, a family in Shidduchim, and you have genuine dirt on the family, so if your kavanah is to help the person, help the person. If your kavanah is to add to the ridiculous stupidity of Shidduchim, and you say, well, it's true that the tablecloth is not always white on Shabbos, so you keep your mouth shut in that case. But if it's actually important information, so then, you, of course, you have to say it.
You just got to be honest with yourself also.
Oh, very. You have to know what your motive is, you're saying. Right, right. Because gossip is fun. However, even in those cases, this is where it gets really, really, really hard. You're not allowed to believe it. So let's say if you're a police officer and you're hearing a report, you're not allowed to believe that it's true. You have to suspect that it might be true. So you take action to prevent victims. But that doesn't mean you assume it's fact. It's very, very hard. So the Chafetz Chaim says, what's the chiluk? You cannot treat that person an iota of different. Meaning he's innocent. He's innocent. Meaning if you hear a rumor about someone that he did something bad, you cannot be makabel of a Lashon Hara. You look at him and you treat him the same way. As if you had never heard the item before. You cannot act on it. Let's say you owe him $5. You still have to pay him back the $5. You give him an aliyah and shul. You are not allowed to treat him differently to any degree. And Rav Sternbach was actually asked this question. Because the Chafetz Chaim basically says exactly your point. And they literally asked Rav Sternbach. He said, the Chafetz Chaim said that it's also l'kabel lashon hara. You heard something about a person. And you can only be choshesh. But you can't even believe it's true. And they literally asked Rav Sternbach, how is that humanly possible? You believe the guy Lamaisa. Reuven's an honest guy. He doesn't lie. He told you. Honest Reuven told you that Shimon did something bad. You believe Reuven Lamaisa. You're not going to believe Reuven? Of course you believe Reuven. Says Rav Sternbach, no. No. Internally, you could believe him to only be choshesh, that watch out. But chas v'shelem, you accept it as truth. And it requires severe internal work. Ari Sher is looking at me like, there is no difference. And you're right. It's a lashon of Rav Sternbach. It's only beino ubein atzmo. Af im la atzmo eino kamalach yisharei shabarlo. Meaning, it's all internal. Where you are internally is confused, and you can be a little bit on the defense. But when you see Shimon in shul, he gets the same good Shabbos. He gets the same good Shabbos. And why is that? Because the Torah says it's not true. It's not true. It's not easy. But imagine if Klal Yisrael didn't believe the Meraglim in this week's Parsha. Imagine if David HaMelech did not believe Tziva. We never would have cried on Tisha B'Av. So what an appropriate way to bench Shabbos Mevarchim Tammuz this year by trying to go into this season of believing in Klal Yisrael a little bit more. Not believing all the negative in the world, but trying to believe a little bit more in the optimism of the world. We should all be zochet to have the inner strength to believe in Klal Yisrael, believe in ourselves, to have the strength to believe in people. As the Rav said, the same belief in Mashiach is the belief in Tshuva, the belief in Klal Yisrael. We should all be zochet to see us doing Tshuva this season, and Elul should bring in Mashiach this year. Let's daven Marv.